Hi, this is Tracy Watson, and welcome to the Laughing Mother Project, where we laugh at the days to come. Hello, ladies. It's great to have you back with us again. Today on the podcast, we've got a lovely guest. Her name is Lisa Garcia. She is a twin herself. She's got a sister named Gina. And she's going to share something of her mother journey. She's a mother of multiples as well. Welcome, Lise.
Hello, Tracy. It's lovely to be here. Thank you for having me.
So, Lisa, I'm not going to ask you a whole lot of questions because I feel that you have more of a story to tell. And it's the story about how you became pregnant, about what the pregnancy was like, because you became pregnant with multiples, about what the early days just after being born was like, and just kind of how you felt Jesus and the nearness of God in that journey. Please, will you share with us your story of how your family began?
I married my husband when I was 27, and we decided to wait a year before we try for a baby. I've always wanted to be a mom. When I was a little girl, I used to play with dolls and treat them like they were my babies. I really love children, and it was just such an exciting time when we decided to try for a baby. During that time, my sister she'd married about a month and a half before my husband and I. And during that time, her and her husband tried for a baby, and she felt pregnant with a little girl. And I remember the day she gave birth to her little daughter and receiving the phone call that she had a little girl. I was just filled with so much love for this child. Even though this child wasn't mine, she wasn't my daughter, but she was my niece. I was just so madly in love with her, and I just couldn't get enough of visiting her and hugging her and looking after her. And we've always shared a very close bond. So my husband and I decided to have a baby, and it just simply didn't happen. And we went from doctor to doctor and specialist to specialist, and I had a lot of complications with my body. I had fibroids, I had severe endometriosis, and I had a lot of other complications which prevented me from having a pregnancy, from even conceiving. It was a very lonely and dark time in my life. I had a very supportive husband who tried to tell me not to stress, it will happen. But because of my health issues and the complications I had, it was just not happening. And I just felt it was a very lonely time. I felt I couldn't tell my friends and my extended family how I was battling. It was almost like my body was letting me down, and I felt ashamed that the basic, what women are born for, their bodies are geared to have a child, and that simple thing I couldn't do. And eventually, I couldn't look at babies, I couldn't look at women who are pregnant. It was just too painful, because I just used to think, am I ever going to fall pregnant? And it was just very painful. I had quite a few surgeries that doctors assured me this would help me falling pregnant, and it still didn't happen. So I turned to God. My husband and I belong to a very lovely home group with a very strong home group leader, and we went for prayer, and I was even told, maybe you just are not meant to to have a baby, and I just rejected that statement. I thought, God, my yearning is to be a mom. If I wasn't going to be a mom, why is this yearning so strong in my life? We went through different fertility procedures, which weren't successful. And I just didn't know where to turn. I didn't know what to do. So my husband said to me, let's just keep praying, be positive. He was really amazing. And he just kept so positive, and his faith really supported me that we were going to be parents. Somehow, God willing, we were going to be parents. And the one evening at our home group, our youth group leader said to us, next week we are going to have moving of the Holy Spirit. We are going to we're going to really come with faith, and we're going to see God move. So I decided I was going to wear a top that I had worn when my husband asked me to marry him, because I felt that that top was a top, the shirt of new beginnings. And when I wore that top at the dinner where he asked me to marry him, it was just an evening of excitement and new beginnings. So we went that evening, and I was wearing that beautiful top, and I just said to God, just Lord, have your way. And I just surrendered to the Holy Spirit, and I knew in my heart that I was going to be a mom. At that time, one day I was catching a bus to work, and this woman was telling me about this doctor, this fertility specialist. He was a Christian, apparently, and he had helped women that had tried to fall pregnant for 11 years, and I just felt a new renewed hope. So we phoned him and we made an appointment and we went to see him. He didn't have the bedside manner. He was quite stern and serious. And we went into his office, and my husband always tries to see the light side of every situation and the funny side of situations, especially if you're in an uncomfortable situation. He will crack a joke to lighten the mood. So this doctor was very stern, and my husband said to him, I like your tie, it's very funny. So he just looked at my husband. He didn't even smile or laugh. But I laughed, because it was an awkward moment and it lightened the mood for me. So we went into the doctor's rooms, and he looked at my file of all the operations. I'd had to remove fibroids and endometriosis. And he said to me, all these operations that you've had, this wasn't actually a good idea, because now you have created scar tissue in your womb, and even if you fall pregnant, you may not hold the pregnancy, or the egg may not fertilize, because you've got so much scar tissue. So I just thought, oh, come on, I just can't believe this. Lord, you have got to, there has got to be a breakthrough. And I still had this faith of that evening of new beginnings. So he said to me, let's try an invasive fertility treatment, which we did, and we tried it a couple of times and it wasn't successful. So I just still kept pressing on. I held on to God's promises. And then we decided to do a different fertility treatment. It was called the Gift at that time. It was quite an expensive treatment, and it was a 50% chance of being successful, and the more eggs that you put in your body, the more success rate it had. So my husband was changing jobs at that time. He was opening his own business, and we decided to go for this treatment. It was very expensive, and he cashed in his pension from his job, and we put his whole pension on this treatment. We only had one chance for this treatment to be successful because of the expense, and it was quite an invasive fertility that we had. So we decided to just go for it, and I had faith that this was going to work, that God was going to make a way. So we had this fertility treatment. I had to have injections, fertility hormone injections, and the side effects were horrendous. One day I was happy, the next day I was sad. Excuse me. It was just an emotional roller coaster. And we went, so we had all injections, and they did the tests, and I was ready for the treatment. I went into surgery, and the eggs, 5 eggs, were put into my womb, but it was up to my body to fertilize the eggs. And when I went into the surgery, I was so terrified and worried that this was, it was just too frightening. And I was wheeled into a pre-op ward. It was just such a depressing ward. There were lots of old, sick people waiting to go into surgery, and there was just, people were coughing, and I just felt there was no life in this room. It was just so depressing. And while I was lying in the pre-op ward to go into this, to have the surgery, I heard this baby screaming, and I didn't know where it was coming from, and it was just screaming. And this woman ran past this ward, and this little baby had a clay blanket on it, and this baby screaming lit the room up with life. And I still remember thinking, God, this is your sign. You are making a way. You have brought this baby into this room to show me that there is life. And I knew that God would make a way. And when I woke up from it, it was just amazing. My mood lifted. The room looked full of life, full of light, and full of possibilities. So I went into the surgery, and the doctor said that there were successful eggs, and let's just hope for the best. He put 5 back, but it was up to my body to fertilize. So I went home, and I rested, and I waited, and towards the end of my cycle, I was going to have to go to the hospital for a pregnancy test to see if anything was successful. And I remember I started to have period pains. And I thought, no, this can't be happening, this can't be happening. I can't go through this again. I was too scared to do a home pregnancy test. So I went to have the blood test done, and while I was sitting and I had the blood test, the nursing sister was there, and she said to me, these fertility treatments are normally not successful the first time around, so you mustn't be disappointed if it hasn't happened. And I thought, no, this can't be happening. I just said, I'm rejecting, in my mind, I didn't say it to her, but in my mind I thought, no, Lord, I'm rejecting what she's saying. This is not happening. I am holding on to God's promises, and I am not going to listen to what she's saying. So I went back to work, and I waited, and I waited, and I had a very supportive boss. She's a lovely Christian lady, and she gave me so much support during that time. And she was in a meeting when I phoned the doctor, and I said, do you have the results back yet? And the nurse said, the doctor's out, but let me just look. I'll look for you, because she could hear how anxious I was. So she came onto the phone, and all she said was, it's positive. And I screamed, and I dropped the phone. And everybody came running, and my boss had finished in the meeting, and she came running, and I said to her, oh, it's positive, I can't believe it's positive, I'm so happy. And at that stage, I felt like I was going to, that I could run up to the top floor on the roof and I could scream to the city, I'm pregnant. It was just the most amazing feeling. And my husband said he had goosebumps all over me. It was just too amazing. So that evening we went out to a very smart restaurant and we celebrated. We were so happy. And my husband had, well, while we were trying for a baby, my husband and I always used to discuss names. And we knew that if we had a boy for our first child, we would call him Broughton. We absolutely loved that name, and it meant strong fortress. So we just loved that name. Then we were called into the doctor's office for our first consultation, and he had the scan over, and he said, I can see one, embryo, two, three, there may be a fourth. And I thought my husband was going to fall on the floor. And he said, no, that's a fibroid, because I was still battling with fibroids. There are three babies. And my husband and I looked at each other, because we've always had a lot of laughter in our relationship and fun. And we looked at each other and we just burst out laughing. We couldn't believe it. It was just, I was just so happy to be pregnant. I thought, well, that is amazing that we have three babies. And we went into his office and he spoke to us how risky it is. And because I'm a very small person, and he said that it's very risky to have three babies. And he gave us all the things that can go wrong, and nothing could wipe my smile off my face. I just knew that God had given life to my desert sands, and in those desert sands, rushing waters were coming through those desert sands, rushing waters of life, and I knew that I was going to be a mom. It was quite a journey. From 11 weeks, I started having contractions. I was at the shopping center with my mom and my gran, and we were busy shopping, and I started having this terrible pain. And I said to my mom, this is not good, I'm really struggling. So she helped me to the car, and my husband phoned the fertility specialist, and he said, come straight through. So he went through. And we went through and he checked me out and he said, what were you doing at the shopping center? He was very, very, very strict. And he said, you are not supposed to be at the shopping center. You have got to be at home. So we went home and he said, "You, I am booking you on bed rest for the rest of the pregnancy." So I was on bed rest from 4 months. I was let off work when I was about, just on 4 months, and I had to be on bed rest. Now, during this bed rest, I actually wasn't stressed. I was still in this lovely bubble that I was so happy that I was pregnant. So I was just loving life. And I thought, I am going to have a wonderful pregnancy. So I just rested, and I just rested on the Lord, and I slept every day. We had the room that we decided to have as a nursery. I had a couch in the window, and I would sit in the sun every day. And my husband was the most amazing man. He is the most amazing man. He was so supportive. He would make me 3 meals a day, and we had a double-story duplex, and he would walk up the steps with my meal. When we had visitors, he'd put all the chairs around my bed, and we would just have a lovely visit. And we'd have tea and cake, and everybody would sit around our bed and visit. During that time, while I was on bed rest, my contractions started getting worse. So there were many times when my husband had to carry me up to the garage, because our garage was on a higher level to our duplex, and rush me to hospital, and then it was a false alarm. And they eventually, I had a drip at home that the nurses used to come to my house and change the drip every few days. And because the needle would get a bit infected, being in the same place in the arm for so long. And my husband also used to change it. Then he would take me to the doctor for the checkups, and he'd have to carry the drip and help me to the hospital room. Eventually, I had to be admitted to hospital because the contractions were not stopping, and the doctor felt that the best place for me to be was in the hospital. I was in hospital for about a month, and during that time, God sent me so many angels, people that were so amazing, and my family was so supportive. They would visit me all the time. I was missing my daughter's, my sister's daughter, because she was almost like my own child. So my mom sneaked into the hospital to see me, even though her children weren't allowed. And it really uplifted my spirits, because I loved her so much. I loved her just like I would love my own child. So that was really a highlight of my day. And eventually I could just be helped to the toilet in my ward, and I wasn't allowed to get up and shower. And I was put on very strong medication, steroids, to stop the contractions, because I was about 29 weeks pregnant at the time. And the doctor told me I wasn't allowed to get up to bath or shower. I had to just lie down. And the nurses would come and give me bed baths to try and make me feel better and fresh. And my skin was itching nonstop because of the steroids. I was literally scratching myself raw on my arms and my hands. And I kept on asking the doctor, can I not just get up to shower? And he kept on saying, no, these babies are the top priority. You are not the priority. These babies are my priority. And there was this one nurse, she was quite a full-figured nurse, a big bubbly nurse, and she was on night shift the one evening. At about 2 o'clock in the morning, she came to me and she said, how are you doing, my darling? And I said to her, I am struggling, sister. I don't know what to do. I'm so uncomfortable. My hair, my scalp is itching. I haven't washed my hair in weeks. Everything is sore. I'm just struggling. I don't know if that can go on. And she said, don't worry, my darling. I'm going to help you. So what she did, at 2 o'clock in the morning, she went and she got a chair. She put it in the shower. She got the water just right. And she slowly helped me out of the bed. And she helped me sit on the chair in the shower. And she put the shower on. And I had the first shower in weeks, and I washed my hair. I felt so amazing. I felt that I could go on, and I could carry on trying to press on. And then she helped me back into the bed afterwards, and she dried the whole shower and the whole bathroom, so there was no evidence left that I had showered. And another nurse came into the ward, and she looked at this big bubbly nurse, and she looked at me and she said, what is going on here? And the bubbly nurse said to her, if you tell anybody about this, I will kill you. And that morning, my doctor came in and he looked at me and he said, you look different today. What's different about you? And I said, I just had a good rest. And that shower, I'm telling you, I believe that shower helped me carry on with the pregnancy. I made such good friends with so many of the nurses. They would come and tell me all their love, their problems with their boyfriends and their love life. And I'd encourage them, and we'd have long chats late into the night. It was just so special. And they even bought me gifts, 3 baby girls of the same color. And but the gifts that I got from these nurses were just amazing. So it was really, really special. When I got up to 31 weeks, it was a very crucial time in lung development for the baby. So I was really trying to keep them. And the doctor told me that I was very weak and my iron levels were low. And they were giving as much medication as possible, but that he said that he felt that I would probably need a blood transfusion when I gave birth. And I was just praying I could not have this blood transfusion. I was just praying that God would keep me safe and just help me. And I just pressed on. And that's the one night I had a very bad tune. I was really battling to breathe during the night, and the nurses came to check on me and they were really worried and they phoned my doctor, and it was so difficult to breathe. I was really, really struggling with every breath. They decided to put me on oxygen, and I didn't want them to phone my husband and ask him to come through to the hospital because it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and when you're in that state and you feel vulnerable and you think completely irrational thoughts. And I was so scared that if he drove to the hospital that something would happen to him and I would be left with these babies and these babies wouldn't have a dad. So I didn't want him to come in case something happened. My husband rushed in and they said, the doctor said, we cannot wait any longer. Lisa cannot make it another night. We have got to take these babies out this morning. So my husband phoned my family and asked everybody to pray. And he rushed in. He rushed home to get the video camera because I was saying, please get the video camera, get the video camera. And he rushed in. They'd already given me the epidural, which burst a blood vessel in my spinal area, so they had to redo it. And my husband pulled on his surgical gear so fast that he tore it. And I had a seizure. And when our firstborn baby came out, he looked so beautiful. He was so chubby. He only weighed 1.84 kgs, but he was just too beautiful. And Des and I decided that he would be brought in. And they allowed me to kiss him on the cheek and they rushed him off to connect him up to everything. Then my second born was another little boy and we decided to call him Ethan. This may sound quite corny, but when growing up, I loved the actor Ethan Hawke. I just thought he was so lovely and I loved the name, so we called my second son Ethan. Then the third child came out and the doctor said, it's a girl. And I loved the name Taylor. So we decided we're going to call our little girl Taylor. And she was screaming so loud. They were all rushed to the neonatal ward for premature babies. And I had a seizure. And miraculously, I did not have to have a blood transfusion. And I was wheeled after straight into the maternity ward. And I couldn't see my babies. And Des took videos of them and I just thought they were so beautiful. And the next day I was wheeled into the neonatal ward to see my children for the first time. And I just thought they were the most beautiful human beings I have ever laid eyes on. And I just thank God. And in that moment, to this day, I realized that although my body was failing me all that time of trying to have a baby, and your bodies are earthly bodies, they are not perfect. When you die and you get to heaven, God will give you perfect bodies. So I learned to forgive my body for failing me, and I realized that my body, during this pregnancy, my body was like a champion athlete, and God was the coach. he was pushing me through, and he was encouraging me and pulling me through to the finish line, where I could not make it on my own terms, but God, he was pushing me through, and he was carrying me through this time. So it was an absolute amazing journey of pregnancy and realizing what I could push myself through and how I needed to lean on God. And we had these three beautiful, beautiful babies.
Our babies were born at 31 weeks, so they were just on 10 weeks premature. About a day after they were born, it must have been about midnight, I was still in hospital, and my husband came into the ward and said to me that Broughton was really struggling with his lungs and I must come to the neonatal ward. So we went there, and he was really struggling to breathe. On the advice of our doctor, we gave permission for him to have injections to improve the elasticity of his lungs, which didn't really help, and he just continued to struggle. We had an amazing nurse that was taking care of him, and she had battled to have children, and she was just so wonderful. She took a photograph of him and put it in a beautiful frame, and she made footprints of his little feet and gave it to us, so that was very special. Broughton continued to deteriorate, and it was very difficult because my sister wasn't allowed to see him, and she was distraught. She just wanted to come and see her niece and nephews and pray for them. And he just continued to struggle. We tried a different treatment, that it was an oxygen machine that was too strenuous for his lungs. It was on the doctor's advice, and that caused a tear in his lungs, which leaked around his heart. The night before Broughton died, we were able to call our family just to come and say goodbye and to just have a look at him and just love him. And the terrible thing was that my husband's dad and his fiance were in England, so they couldn't come across. So that was extremely hard for my husband. The next morning, he was 4 days old, they decided to just see if he could breathe, so they tampered off the oxygen, and he took his last breath and he passed away. It was just so devastating, and I just felt part of my heart die and go with him. It was just so difficult and devastating for us, and we were both crying. After he passed away, we bathed him and dressed him, and we held him for a while, and I just held him close and whispered to him, "Goodbye, my boy, mommy loves you." And it was just, it was such a difficult time, and we had to bury our son while our two children were still in hospital struggling. A few weeks after he died, I was in the bathroom and I just started to cry, wrenching sobs, and I actually thought, am I ever going to stop crying? But it was good for me to get it all out and grieve, because I'd been holding back for a while, while we were just trying to sort out everything. After that, I used to have terrible nightmares of Ethan, of him being in danger, and I think it was probably from the trauma of losing Broughton. I used to dream that he was in a river and chased by crocodiles. It was just so frightening. And when the kids were about 2 years old, I was sleeping the one night, and at about 1 in the morning, God suddenly woke me up, and I just felt in my heart that something was wrong with Ethan, specifically Ethan. So I got out of bed and I went down the passage. We had a high staircase with a balustrade that went across the passage. And Ethan had gone out of his cot and he'd walked across the passage, slipped through the balustrade and was hanging on the edge of the highest point of the steps. And if he had let go, he would have fallen a whole story down to the floor. So I quickly and quietly, so he wouldn't get a fright, I rushed to him and grabbed his hands. And at that point, I just knew that God had my children. He was protecting my children. And it was a sign from him that he had my children, he would protect them. So that night, it was really great that he was there and he'd woken me up. It was just so amazing. My message to those ladies out there who have lost a child in miscarriage or shortly after birth.
Lisa, your story is such a story about how a mother's love is so unconditional. A mother's love is the type of love that will, for the joy set before us, we will endure things. And your story is just such testimony of that. Thank you for the details. Thanks for sharing with us the journey. And we know that Broughton is with the Lord, but it still must be something that, even after that, I just think you were so brave bringing home two babies and still having to care for them as best as you could, and in your heart also be grieving the loss of a baby. Lise, I would love you to share what you would say to any mother who lost a baby like you did. What would your words to them be?
It's to just take one day at a time. Don't be too hard on yourself. Lean on people who you trust and love for support. In life, we have to go through tragedies. Sometimes you may feel that these tragedies may kill you and you cannot work through them. But you get through it. And with God's love and leaning on Him and speaking to Him and just trusting in Him, you will know that you will eventually be happy and you will find peace. One day you will wake up and you will see a beautiful sunrise. To be alive and to have life is such a blessing. You will see a beautiful sunset and you will smell the rain after a rainstorm. No matter what we are going through in life, life pushes on and life carries on. And it is just such a blessing to experience that life has everything to offer. So be kind to yourself, love yourself, forgive yourself. God bless to all your lovely ladies out there.
Lise, thank you for your sensitivity. It was so beautiful hearing from your heart there. And we know that it's authentic because you've walked the walk. We also know that Broughton is with Jesus now and you will see him again one day. In the meantime, I think it's the Italian in you and the Spanish in Des, but you both have such an amazing gift of hospitality. Can you share how you laugh at the days to come with your two children who are 18 now?
Our household is a very busy household. We are not quiet people. Our house is always noisy with either laughter, we say what we feel, and we have discussions around our dining room table. Every night we sit at the dinner table and we have lovely, interesting discussions. We have always encouraged our children to follow their passion and their interests. My son Ethan loved skateboarding when he was a young boy, and my husband built this elaborate skateboarding ramp in our garden, and Ethan's friends would come to our house and bring their skateboards and have hours of so much fun going on this skateboard ramp. My daughter also loves sewing, and she designs such beautiful dresses. So she loved sewing. So what we did, we converted a room in our house for her to just explore her clothing design. We've built racks for clothes. We had a mannequin put in, sewing machine, mirrors, so she could just be there and just love what she's doing. And Ethan, he started showing an interest in boxing and he was very passionate about it. So my husband built, he put mirrors up in our garage and he put boxing bags up and Ethan would train there. And some of the boys in the neighborhood would come down the road and they would come and train with him, which was lovely. So we've always encouraged our children to bring friends around. They can have as many friends as they want and they can have sleepovers. And it's just lovely to have the house full of chatter and laughter. I've worked most of my children's lives since they were 1 year old. So I've always tried to teach them to be independent. I remember the one day when my son Ethan was 15, he phoned a taxi, an Uber taxi, and he booked it and he got in the taxi, paid the taxi driver and went to visit his friend, which I thought was very, very cool at the time. And my daughter had her own little business as a young girl where she used to make extra money with making beautiful summer tops. So I'm very proud of them for the lovely people they have grown up to be. And we just cherish our family. We are real people and we live life. We love the Lord and we just cherish our time together.
Lis, I just love that you've looked at the gifts of your children. First of all, you've seen them as a gift. You've seen them both as individuals. You've looked at the gifts and talents that they have. And you've seen it as your place, you and Des, to steward those gifts, to create places in your home for those gifts and talents to grow into maturity. And I just think that that's just such an amazing thing for listeners out there to hear. Thank you for sharing. God bless the Garcia home and may there be lots of reasons to laugh in the future days to come. Friends, I would just like to pray over all of you that are listening. Father God, we just thank you for the precious children that you entrust into our care. We thank you, Father God, that those mothers who have had to release children back into the care of Jesus, that Father God, you would bring comfort to their hearts and minds and souls. We ask you, God, in your gracious kindness, that you would show them daily, monthly, yearly, signs of the fact that you have not forgotten those children that they have placed into your care. Father God, I just pray for your peace and your love and that, Lord, there would be lots of laughter in every home. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next time, friends.